The anointed preaching of the Word of God is like infusing strong medicine into a sick body. The modern day church is sick, and what it really needs is an infusion of the truth.
You're listening to Truth Infusion. And now for your host, David Markham.
Well, hello, truth seekers. I wanted to start this show very simply by saying thank you. I want to start by saying thank you to you. Thank you for allowing me some of your time. Thank you for lending me your ear. I appreciate you allowing me into the car with you. That may sound kind of strange. I thank you for allowing me to join you on your work site, join you in your home by listening to Truth Infusion Radio. I thank you for giving me your ear and your heart for a moment. I pray for you. I pray for this show. I ask every time that God will allow the Holy Spirit to be the teacher, and that what I say and what I do is not of my own, but it is Spirit-led and Spirit-guided and Spirit-pronounced. Why? Very importantly, very simply, so that it may have eternal effect in your life. See, if you get the best that David Markham can offer, that's not worth a lot to you. I'll be honest with you. It's just not, because I'm a man. I'm a human. I'm struggling through this the same way you are. I'm leaning on the Lord and learning from Him daily. I'm a lot farther down the road than I used to be. But you know what? You need the Holy Spirit. You don't need me. So I ask that He uses me, and I say to you today, thank you for being a part. I'm also thankful for what God is doing through this study that we're taking part in right now. We're studying the sixth chapter of Romans. Extremely, extremely important chapter that every Christian needs to know and understand. It will set you free in ways that you didn't know you were bound up. It will turn the key in the lock and let you free and empower you to live the way that God desires for you to live victoriously through what He teaches, through what Paul teaches in the sixth chapter of the book of Romans. So far, we've gotten up through verse, I think last time we were in verse 7, and we completed talking about verse 7. Today, I want to skip ahead to verse 11, not skipping past anything that we haven't already talked about. Verses 8, 9, and 10 are another recap, another repeat of what Paul has already stated over and over. Paul has explained repeatedly verses 1 through verse 10. He's explained repeatedly about the two parts, if you will, of the spiritual machinery of our salvation. If you want to talk about a mechanic and you want to talk about lifting up the hood and seeing how this thing runs, a mechanic can take you under the hood and show you what all that machinery does and how it culminates in that car moving forward. Okay, and that's what the first 10 verses of Romans chapter 6 does. He repeatedly is explaining what took place at your salvation, what is working under the hood, how the Holy Spirit changed things in you, and I've explained it to you by painting the illustration of a divine surgery that takes place, and this is the mechanics of the sin nature teaching. What happened when you got saved was that, number one, the sin nature was disengaged or powered down in your life. And we're not going into what the sin nature is again. I'm just reviewing that the sin nature was, the power of the sin nature was unplugged, was broken, and the divine nature, a better way to describe that is the Holy Spirit, was imparted into your life. So the spiritual master that you had before salvation, the sin nature, his power was broken. And the new spiritual master or governor or guide, the Holy Spirit, was given to you. And that is explained how that happened through the death of Christ and our joining to that death, through the burial of the Christ and our merging with that burial, and through the resurrection to new life with a new power source of the body of Jesus Christ, and our combining or merging or becoming one flesh with Jesus and having a new power source as God saw us walk out of that tomb very much alive with His Son on resurrection morning. So, we talked a lot about the theory of the matter, if you will. The theory about how it works. Here's what we're going to do now as we get into Romans chapter 6, verse 11. And this is going to take a little time as we go really through verses 11 through 14. It's going to take a little time. There is some huge, there's major meat and potatoes here, okay? No more milk for you now. You're getting off the milk. Paul's going to be so excited that you're moving from the milk to the meat. And there is major meat in this chapter. And what we're going to go into now in verse 11 is just that. But I have to introduce this. I want to introduce what's going to happen as we get into the practical side. Okay, we've talked about what happened. We've talked about the what. Now we're going to talk about the how, if you will. And let me explain what I'm talking about this way. We have a very bad habit. That's not how I want to say it. We have a very bad methodology in the church today. Here's what we do a whole lot. We are very good. We are very prone to telling believers, new Christians, especially, what to do, what not to do. What we fail to do to a great extent is explaining to them, explaining to us, how to go about that. How to do the what to do is how I like to put it. How to do the what to do. We've been told, here's what you do, here's what you do, here's what to do, here's what you don't do. Don't do this, don't do this, do this, do this. To be a good Christian, you got to do this, do this. You got to not do this, not do this. But we don't explain enough how that happens. We've got to start teaching our folks. I want to teach you over the next few shows here, how do I affect all that we've learned about the sin nature and the divine nature? How do I go about this? You keep telling me, David, over and over, you show me that the Bible has said that I am free from the sin nature. Well, guess what? I'm struggling with sin. Do you feel me on that? Are you with me? You're telling me that the sin nature's power is broken. Why do I still feel overwhelmed by it? This is the huge struggle that so many Christians are facing. Because when you are told what to do, how, what to do, what not to do, over and over, you're told, accomplish this, reach for this goal, this is how it's supposed to be. But you're not told how to do it. You're not explained practically. How do I go about that? You know what that results in? Frustration. Frustration, frustration, and when you've had enough frustration, you just go on and quit trying, and it ends up in defeat. And the vast majority of Christians today are in this place. They are struggling to do what our pastors and teachers are telling them. They know what the Bible has said they should be, victorious, more than conquerors, abundant living. They're not that. They know just looking at their daily walk. Okay, many of you are relating to what I'm saying. You're struggling with things, some things that your family and church friends don't even know about. You're thinking to yourself, am I really even saved? How can someone that's saved, let's just get real, how can someone that's saved struggle with pornography? But I know I love the Lord. I know I had that salvation experience. Why am I so tied to this addiction, whatever it is? How is someone that is saved so bound up with an anger issue that I just tear up relationships right and left? Nobody wants to get close to me. And I'm supposed to be a Christian? that loves the Lord with the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and strength, and loves your neighbor as yourself. And I'm struggling to show the people I love the most that love. You understand what I'm saying? How do I, as a Christian, struggle so much with jealousy? Am I really even saved? I don't like this in my life. I don't want this in my life. I've prayed about it. I want to get away from it. David, you keep telling me for 8 shows now that the power of the sin nature is broken. Why am I not living in any victory? I guess that means I'm not saved then. Listen, you're not alone. If anything like what I just explained is how you're living, you're not alone. Here's the problem. You've been told what to do. You've been told what not to do. You've been told the bottom line. Here's what happened. You're victorious. You're a winner. You're a more than a conqueror. You've been told all that. And you believe what the Bible says, but you've not been told how to go about that. No one's ever taken the time to explain how. You know what? I am horrible when it comes to cars. I can drive one. I can put in gas, you know. I can change the oil if I don't have to anymore. I mean, we just drive up and it gets done in 5 minutes. But I can. I've done it before. I've changed plenty of tires. I can do that. But after that, after replacing some of the vital fluids, like windshield wiper fluid, I am an idiot when it comes to a mechanicking on a car. That's a Deep South term, mechanicking. When it comes to mechanicking, if you come to me, if I bring my car to you, you the mechanic out there listening to me, I'm trying to paint you a little picture here to illustrate what I've just been saying. If I come to you with my car and I say, look, whenever I do this, it's making this crazy noise, and this morning it wouldn't start. And you take a look at it and you say, well, David, what you've got here is a bad flux capacitor. Okay, I know that's not really in the cars we drive. That's a Back to the Future thing, but that's, you know what I'm saying. I don't know car terms. You got a bad flux capacitor here, David. What you've got to do is recalibrate the flux capacitor and replace this little part right here, and you're good as new. That's all you got to do. When you do that, your car will run great. You are on the way to having everything just the way you want it. All you got to do, recalibrate the flux capacitor, replace this little doohickey right here, you shut the hood, and you walk away. Well, you know what? Listen, I believe you, Eve. Hey, I trust you as my mechanic. I believe that you know what you're talking about. I know in my heart right now that my flux capacitor's busted. But, brother, if you don't tell me how to take that thing off and how to recalibrate it and how to replace it, I'm going to just have a messed up car. All the knowledge in the world of what's wrong and what I need to do, but have no idea how to accomplish such a feat. You see, it boils down to that, doesn't it? Here's another way to describe it or to say it. We haven't been discipled. Our pulpits, and I love pastors. I have such amazing respect for how difficult and how overwhelming and how widespread that job is. My father's a pastor. My grandfather was a pastor. Listen, I've been around it my whole life. It comes with a set of burdens that the lay person does not understand. I love you, man of God. But our pulpits are failing in the area of discipleship. Explaining people not just what, but how. So, we're going to get into the sin nature chapter here. Start in verse 11 on the other side of the break. I want to start showing you how to live free from the sin nature and allow the divine nature to reign, the Holy Spirit, to have free leeway and work and room to operate in your life. That's what you need. We need to keep the sin nature in check. Let's learn how right on the other side of this break.
Hey, this is Tim. I'm the youth pastor at Partnership Church. You know, I am often faced with this scenario. Let's say I see a man standing on the side of the street holding a sign. I am now faced with the decision. Do I step out of my comfort zone and do something radical, or do I drive on thinking he's probably got a nice SUV parked around the corner? To find the answer to that, I went to another popular question. You know, what would Jesus do? In the book of Luke, chapter 18, starting in verse 31, we find Jesus faced with a similar situation with a beggar. Jesus often found times like these perfect to show love and to minister to the broken. Imagine just 20 seconds of extraordinary love and compassion. You could impact somebody's life forever. For more information about Partnership Church, please check us out at partnershipchurch.com. While you're there, feel free to check out our youth page at Break Free Youth Ministries.
Hey, Truth Infusion listeners, this is David. I need you to do something for me. I want to take some of our radio shows and use them like a question and answer time. I want to take the questions that you have, apply the Word of God to them, and see if I can help you come up with some answers to some stuff perhaps you've been struggling with. So you go to truthinfusion@gmail.com and send me your questions. truthinfusion@gmail.com, and you keep seeking the truth. Right, welcome back, Truth Seekers, and I gave you a little introduction to what we're going to be going into really for the next few weeks. It's going to take a few shows to accomplish this. We're going to start in Romans chapter 6, verse 11 now. We've been talking about the sin nature, kind of giving you in the first several verses the machinery under the hood, how this thing works, what happened at Calvary, what happened in your heart. The sin nature was, power was broken, the divine nature was imparted. Now, the point is, all that's good and great, David, but how do I live free from the sin nature? Because the point is this: your sin nature's power was unplugged from the power source. The divine nature was implanted in you, but the sin nature remains within your spiritual network. It's still sitting there, dormant, hopefully, disengaged, not controlling your life, but God hasn't removed it away. It hasn't been destroyed. It hasn't been annihilated. And the fact is this: just because the Holy Spirit's there does not mean that He's in complete control of your life all the time. Now, why? I thought He's God, right? Isn't the Holy Spirit God? Well, sure He is. Well, then, David, how can He be inside me but not have full control of my life? Because, my friend, from the beginning, and I'm talking about Garden of Eden beginning, God has given to mankind the ability to choose. We call it free will. Just as you chose to accept the calling and the drawing of the Holy Spirit at the point of your salvation. He was drawing you. You said, yes, God unplugged the sin nature in your life, set that aside. The Holy Spirit indwelled. But here's the thing. Paul says in Romans chapter 7, verse 9, I was once alive apart from the law. Now, in a lot of ways, the sin nature and the law coincide. They're kind of the same thing. I'm not going to go into depth there. He says, I was once alive apart from the law, apart from the sin nature, if you will. But then the commandment came. The commandment came. Sin, now look at this. The sin nature revived, and I died. Let me repeat that again, because this is kind of setting up where we're headed. Paul said in Romans 7, verse 9, you go read it. I'm just quoting this from memory. I don't have it pulled up in front of me, but I'm almost verbatim here. Paul said, I was once alive apart from the law. When was that? That was after he came to the Lord. He was saved. The sin nature was set aside. The divine nature moved in. He was no longer being burdened and having to live under the direction of the sin nature or the law and all of its rudiments and all of its fine points that we have to follow, that we know we can't follow, we can't keep up with all of the laws so that we can serve God that way. It doesn't work. The sin nature made sure that wouldn't work that way. So we came to God, and that was done away with. The sin nature was powered down. The law was set aside. Paul said, I was once alive apart from the law. But then the commandment came, and here's what happened. The sin nature revived, and I died. So, we can live in such a way that we go back to what we used to know. We go back to what we used to do. We go back to living it by my terms, by my power, by my ability. In effect, what we're doing is we're saying, God, I know this is how you want me to go, but anytime we throw a but in there after that, after God, this is what I know you want me to do, but, okay, you're in trouble after that. Whatever comes after the but I'm going to do it this way. That's what sin is, isn't it? Sin is really saying, this is your way, Lord. This is a different way, Lord. This is the way I'm going, and it's not your way. Sorry, you've just fallen short of the glory and the plan and the desire of God for your life. You have sinned. Now, committing a single solitary sin does not mean that the sin nature has been revived in your life. We all are going to have moments where we commit a sin. We're not going to live perfect, and the Bible never tells you to have sinless perfection from your salvation until Jesus takes you home. Doesn't teach that. But it does teach this over and over. You don't have to live controlled by the sin nature ever again, so help me God. You don't have to do it because your relationship with the sin nature has been changed. So you have the choice. Joshua said it best. Let me quote him. Choose you this day who you will serve. Choose you this day who your master is going to be. And then he goes on to list the different masters. You can choose the gods of our forefathers, the gods from the other side of the river, the gods of the Egyptians, the gods of the Amorites. Choose you who you're going to serve. As for me and my house, we will choose to serve the Lord. Here's what I'm saying. The same call from Joshua is true today. Choose you this day who you're going to serve. Is the sin nature going to be in charge of your life, the master of your life, or will the Holy Spirit, the divine nature, be that? So, how does the Christian adjust or live his life in order to see the best results from this interchange that took place when God performed the divine surgery in your life? Well, that's what we're going to get into at verse 11. Let me read verse 11, chapter 6, verse 11. Likewise, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to the sin nature, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let me read that again, and then I want to get into the word reckon. We don't say that a lot anymore, but I reckon we ought to get some explanation on this. Let me read verse 11 again. Likewise, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to the sin nature, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Okay, we've got to take a look at the idea of reckon yourselves, because I want to start teaching you how. How do we live a life free from the control of the sin nature? How do we keep the sin factory shut down, closed down, and non-operational in our day-to-day lives? Because if we can do that, then automatically that means the Holy Spirit is in charge and is the one producing victory in our lives. There's no in-between here. Let me make that point real quick. There's no sin nature master, Holy Spirit divine nature master, and then three or four other ones that you could possibly be slipping in and out of. No. There is only two. There is sin nature, divine nature. There is grace, law. There is a way that leads to life. There is a way that leads to death. There are only two, life or death, and that is based on who is your master today. And here's what Paul said, reckon yourselves. Now, If we look and study in the Greek, which you have to, you've got to get a full understanding, a real and right understanding. You've got to understand what the Bible is saying in the language that the original writers wrote in and taught in and preached in. Now, I'm not saying I know how to read Greek. I don't. But I can study behind men and women that do, that I trust, and there aren't, you know, bending words to say what they want to say, but they're just telling you what thus saith the Lord. What was Paul saying? When Paul said, reckon yourselves, the Greek here is expressing this idea. To reckon means to account, to compute. You need to take it into account. All right? Remember, recall, remind yourself, take account of the fact that. Reckon yourselves. Remember what you've been taught. Remind yourselves that the truth is thus and so. Reckon yourselves. Compute this every day. Take into account the truth. Reckon yourselves. Live counting on the fact. Taking into account that we have been disengaged from the sin nature. You've got to, one of the first steps to living free from the sin nature is to live reminding yourselves, reckoning to yourself that you're free from it. Keep it in your forefront. Keep it in front of your eyes, your spiritual eyes. Focus on the fact that Jesus Christ set you free from it. It is a done deal. It is completed. It is in the perfect tense. You have been freed from the sin nature. That past action is complete and is still complete today. Some days you just need to remind yourself, I am free from the sin nature. Reckoning yourself does not make you free. You've already been set free at salvation. But reckoning reminds you that you are free. So the first thing that Paul is saying, how do I start to live free from the sin nature? It takes time. It takes practice. It takes effort to do something that seems very simple when you hear it. How do we stay free from the sin nature? We have to keep our focus, keep our faith on the fact that we have been set free. When we forget, when we allow it just to slip out into our peripheral vision that our sin nature has been shut down, the divine nature is in control, then we will begin to drift away from what we should be focused on, like a runner that runs a race and looks to the right when he's running and begins to drift that direction. If you don't keep in your forefront, in your vision, the fact that we have been set free from sin, we are to remind ourselves to reckon that we are dead to the sin nature, then you will begin to drift toward what you're naturally inclined to, and that is to allow the sin nature to be in control. The first step is this. Reckon that you are dead to sin. Remember that you are dead to the sin nature, my friend. That's the first step, and we got a lot to go. Come on back next time. Until then, you keep seeking the truth.
Thank you for listening to Truth Infusion. Please visit Truth Infusion Ministries on the web at truthinfusion.com. Once again, that's truthinfusion.com. We also would like to hear from our listeners. Email us truthinfusion@gmail.com.